Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's time to celebrate our Christ.
The Bible says that everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Come on and get on your feet and help us bless the name of Jesus.
Did anybody come to praise him today? Come on, let's celebrate him in this place today. Come on, come on, come on, come on.
Woo!
Hey, hey, hey! There's a celebration going on up in here. And I tell you guys, whoa, what a love fest Monday this is. Yes, it is. And I'm here to let you know there's a celebration about to take place. Oh, come on, somebody. Welcome to another live broadcast of It's Time to Pray, brought to you by Word on the Water International Ministries and WOTW Internet Radio. This is Apostle Gregory R. Pinson, Sr., bringing you the very best of great gospel music and the Word of God. Straight from heaven's gates to your ear gates, we are It's Time to Pray. And you know what? Yes, it is November the 7th, 2016. And saints of God, we are on the eve of something marvelous. Yes, there's an election going on where we could possibly have our very first female president, or we could have our very first billionaire. Well, actually, we wouldn't really be the first billionaire president, but we do have another individual that is running. But let me explain something to you. Please, by all means, when you go to the polls to vote, please go. Do not take your cell phone in there and start taking selfies. I hope you all realize that in a lot of states, that is a criminal offense. It is against the law to take selfies in the polling booth. Now, you can take selfies outside. You can take selfies while you're in line. But you are not supposed to take selfies while you are actually voting. And one of the main reasons is that they're saying now that people take selfies to prove that they voted for a particular person so that they can get paid. So let's not break the laws. Let's agree with the law, and let's not do something that is illegal, immoral, and just downright not right. Amen? Amen. But I do need you guys to go out and vote. I can't tell you who to vote for. As a man of God, as a pastor, as an apostle of God, they say that I'm not supposed to say who to vote for. But I'm going to tell you this. Either one of them are only going to serve one term, and that's it. Because once that whoever gets in, things are going to happen, and I believe this is going to be a one-term president. And that's good. That's fine. Maybe we can come up with someone better. But either way, Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, go out and vote for one of the two. And make your voice known. Let me tell you something. You don't have a voice if you don't vote. If you do not exercise your right at the polling station, you don't have a voice and you don't have a reason to be able to say good, bad, or indifferent either way. So make sure that you go to the polling places. Vote for the senators, vote for the representatives, vote for the presidential election, who you think would be the very best candidate for this disposition of time. Yes, this has been one nerve-wracking race. This has been a very disgusting race, but yet and still we're at the ninth hour. The FBI have now cleared Hillary. And they say that there's not going to be any criminal charges pulled against her. But we knew that was a ploy anyway. But, you know, so she's in the clear. She's good to go. It's funny how they let that come out at the ninth hour. But still, go vote. Amen. Let's get this party started. Say to God, you know what? Hallelujah. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. Before we get started tonight, I'm going to just tell you all, I'm going to be revealing some things. I'm going to reveal some things, not about you, but about me this night. So call a friend, call a neighbor, call a loved one, text somebody, inbox somebody, and tell them, y'all don't want to miss this one because he's going to tell it all about himself. Oh, yes, he is. So call somebody, text somebody, inbox somebody, and tell them to tune in to It's Time to Pray, brought to you by Word on the Water International Ministries. Amen, amen, and amen. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. Man, I'm excited about the things that God is doing right here with us. Amen, amen. Going around the world, teaching the gospel, spreading the good news of Jesus Christ is like nothing else that I would rather do. Amen. So bless the name of Jesus. We're going to do something we love to do right here on It's Time to Pray, and that's to do just that. And that's to go into that prayer closet, to go into that moment where we just love upon God. Amen. Amen. So let's go over to South Georgia. Let's go to Beverly Howard, Evangelist Beverly Howard. God bless you, woman of God. Come on and take us to that throne room of grace.
And God bless you. God bless you, Apostle. Once again, I thank you for another opportunity to pray. And hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus and the power of His blood, I appeal to the Most High, Sovereign God. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He alone, hallelujah, is God, and besides Him, there is no other. He is glorious, hallelujah, He is triumphant, and He is mighty. He is a holy God, a righteous God, a powerful God. And we give you thanks, Lord. We give you thanks, not because of what you do for us, but just because of who you are. You are so strategic and methodical in all your ways. So, Father, as we approach your throne of grace, your throne of mercy, your throne of love and power, we just bow down. We bow down to your lordship. We bow down to your majesty, to your rule, and to your way, Father. We know, Lord, hallelujah, we know that you're concerned about everything that concerns us. Jesus, hallelujah, Lord, we release all of our disappointment, all of our negativity, all of our fears, all of our lack, all of our betrayals, all of our heartaches, all of our sicknesses. We know, hallelujah, we know that you're bigger than any doubt. You're bigger than any negativity, bigger than blood clots, bigger than cancer, bigger than HIV, bigger than diabetes. Lord God, we know that you're bigger than high blood pressure, low blood pressure. Father God, the stripes on your back, hallelujah, makes you bigger. The fact that you died and rose from the grave makes you bigger, hallelujah. The fact that you ascended to heaven and sit at the right side of the Father, hallelujah, that makes you bigger. Lord God, you keep doing the impossible time after time after time. You are our Redeemer, our Messiah, our little from the valley, our bright and morning star. You are Jehovah Nissi, our banner of love and protection. You are Jehovah Shalom, our God of peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding. Hallelujah. You are Jehovah Rapha, the healer. You are, hallelujah, Lord, Jehovah Shammah, our right now God. And we thank you, Lord. Father God, we just praise you. We lift our hands and we praise you. For great is thy faithfulness, O God. Hallelujah. Great is thy faithfulness. So my brothers and sisters, all across this globe, God will take care of whatever it is that you're going through, whatever you're faced with, whatever you're challenged with. He has already made a way of escape for each and every one of you. Hallelujah. So in the midst of your going through, in the midst of your storm, your Red Sea, don't look at the gloom and the doom. Begin to praise Him. Begin to worship Him. Hallelujah. Your thanksgiving is explosive. Hallelujah. Your thanksgiving is praise to God's ear. Hallelujah. It will strengthen you in your weakness. Your praise and your worship will take your mind off of your problems and put your mind on Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh God, we bless you. For it is written. It is written that He is your help at a present time of trouble. Hallelujah. So Father, we thank you. We thank you for the empowerment right now. We thank you that we can call on the Holy Spirit for guidance. We thank you that we can call on the Holy Spirit for discernment and comfort. Lord God, we love you. We love you with our whole heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit. Hallelujah. We thank you. We thank you in advance for the peace falling upon us right now. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us right standing through Jesus. My brothers and sisters, I encourage you. I encourage you to build yourself up in your most holy faith, hallelujah. For it is written that without faith it is truly impossible to please God. When it comes, when it comes to God, you must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We encourage you this night. We encourage you to encourage yourself. belong to the kingdoms of this earth. You belong to God. Hallelujah. So bless his word. Bless his holy name. Now, Father, hallelujah, Lord, in the name of Jesus and the power of his blood, if I pray for those that are diagnosed with a condition, a disease, those in the nursing home, and even in hospice situations and catastrophic conditions, those in surgery and scheduled for surgery. Lord God, I pray that every organ, every cell, every muscle, every skeletal structure, their mind, every bone broken, fractured, or deteriorating, I pray that your healing shall spring forth speedily, hallelujah. For it is written that by Jesus' stripes you were healed. It's done, hallelujah. It is finished. So I encourage you to receive it, hallelujah, and believe it. Hallelujah, Lord. In the name of Jesus and the power of his blood, I pray for those that are mourning the death of their loved ones all across this globe. My heartfelt sympathy, my heartfelt condolences is extended to each and every one of you, for I know how it is to lose a loved one. So I pray that the Holy Spirit will give you the comfort now and in the days to come. Hallelujah. Father God, I pray for those that are serving in our armed forces, those that are veterans and active duty, those that are firemen and policemen. Father God, I pray that when these individuals, hallelujah, Lord, I pray, Father God, that when these individuals put on their uniforms and badges, that they will put on and keep on the whole armor of God. Hallelujah. Those that are even deployed out from their loved ones, Father God, I pray for your protection over them and their families. Oh, hallelujah, Lord, thank you. Father God, I pray now for President Obama and Vice President Biden. Father God, I pray for every elected official, House of Representatives, the senators, the judges, the mayors, the councilmen, the aldermen, the ambassadors, and leaders throughout the United States and the other 153 countries and territories. May the peace of you, Lord God, be their grace. Hallelujah, Lord. Let the grace be of you, Lord God. For you are truly the overseer, the ambassador, the president. So, Father God, the difference between you and them is that you did not have to be elected or appointed. You alone are God, and we thank you. Hallelujah. Father God, I ask that you bless them and their immediate and their extended family. Father God, now, hallelujah, Lord, I pray for every true apostle, every true pastor, every true teacher, every true evangelist, and every true prophet. Father God, I pray that their feet are shod with the preparations to spread the gospel through the territories that God yourself has assigned them. Father God, I pray that their ministry thrives. Hallelujah, Lord. I pray that their leaders thrive. I pray for their immediate and their extended family, Lord God. I pray, Father God, that the relationship and the fellowship that they have with you will thrive even higher. Lord God, we thank you for it in this season. And Father God, I pray for those that are incarcerated and those that are in juvenile detention all across this globe. Father God loves you, and so do I. All is not lost. I'm just asking you to repent. Repent and ask for forgiveness. God is waiting for you. His love will reach you right where you are. Hallelujah. And Father God, I pray for this ministry. I pray, Father God, that listeners are being called from every state in the United States, every territory, all across this globe, even 153 countries. Father God, I pray that the calls come in as an overflow. Hallelujah, Lord. Father God, I just thank you. I thank you, Lord God, for what you've done to this ministry through your assigned servant, Apostle Pinson. And Father, in the name of Jesus and the power of blood, as the word goes forth this night by your manservant, Father God, I pray that he is unhindered, that he is uninterrupted by any satanic forces. Father, hallelujah, Lord. Let it be done right now, Lord. Let your right now word come to the listeners, whether it be live or whether it be archived. Father God, speak through your manservant vocal cords as never before. Holy Spirit, hallelujah, Lord. We just ask that you have your way. Lord, allow your Shekinah glory. Fall on your servant to teach us as never before. We thank you, Lord. We thank you and we bless you for our spirit man to be rejuvenated, to be fed with your glorious power tonight, Lord God. Father God, we thank you for the deliverance that's coming. and the fellowship that you've allowed me to share with you. And in Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Glory, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Touch their hearts right now.
Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
God, thank you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes. As we were speaking earlier before the broadcast, and you said, God said that we're not praying enough.
Yes.
We're not seeking enough. And we're not reading his word enough. And you said, push. Which means pray until something happens. And I said, press. And he gave me the revelation just before you came on board. And it said, please read everlasting scriptures spiritually. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Press. Please read everything everlasting. I'm sorry. Please read everlasting scriptures spiritually. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, man, that's something sweet right there. I like that. I like that. Yes, I do. Ha ha! Glory to God. Man, woman of God, Evangelist Beverly Howard, I thank you so much. I love you, my sister. And God is getting the glory. Amen? Amen. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. Oh, we're going to keep this party rolling here tonight, y'all. We're going to let this party just roll on through. It's a love fest Monday night right here on It's Time to Pray. I double dog dare you to go and text somebody, inbox somebody, call somebody, email somebody to tune in tonight. Because something is something supernatural. My God, I feel it in the atmosphere. It's about to take place right here on It's Time to Pray. But before we do anything else, we've got to go for the recipe of life. Saints of God, for all my new listeners, the recipe of life is when we go in the Bible, we pull out scriptures that will govern our lives. Yes, there's a recipe of life just for you in that Bible. I'm telling you, all you got to do is open that book up and read it. Read that scripture and watch God work in your life. Let's go over to the evangelist. That's none other than Evangelist Connie Penson. God bless you, woman of God. I know you got something sweet for us to eat on this night.
Hey, God bless you, son. God bless you. Tonight, I'm going into the book of Matthew. I'm starting at the 8th chapter, beginning at the 5th verse. I'm reading from Life Application Study Bible. And it's a Roman officer demonstrates faith. Just listen how this goes, this faith walk goes. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him, Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. But the officer said, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I'm under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, he said, I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel. And I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from the east and the west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. But many Israelites, those from whom the kingdom was prepared, will be thrown into outer darkness, where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go back home, because you believe it has happened. And the young servant was healed that same hour. May God add a blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Amen. Thank you, Evangelist, for that recipe of life. Yes, that was something sweet to eat on this night. Well, thanks to God, I'll tell you what. If you give me 20 minutes, 25 minutes, 25 strong minutes, I'm going to say it like that, I promise you I'm going to let you out early. Because I want you to get some rest tonight and get ready to go vote tomorrow. But you need to have something inside of you, something that's going to nourish you, something that's going to give you some substance, something that's going to give you understanding. See, I understand that we're in a time of trial and tribulation. We're in a moment that we have no clue what tomorrow is going to bring. We don't know if the devil of good God Almighty or if a demon is going to go into the White House. We don't know what we're going to get, but we've got to have something to trust. That's why tonight I want you to entitle this message, How to Stay in the Will of God for Your Life When You're Struggling. I'm going to say that again. Tonight's message, and see, this is why I said so many needed to listen to this tonight. That's why I need you to text somebody, inbox somebody. You need to call your brother. You need to call your sister. You need to call your son. You need to call your nephew, whoever it is, and put them on a three-way. Have them listen in tonight. How to stay in the will of God for your life when you're struggling. You know, I said that I was going to speak about myself tonight. I said that I was going to be very transparent and make you understand that, you know, even during our struggling times, we're never alone. We're never in a place where we don't have anybody that we can communicate with. My brothers and sisters, tonight I want to love on you so much. And I want you to understand, yes, troubles have come, troubles have gone. Situations have arisen and situations have left. But yes, it still seems like I'm struggling. It still seems like I'm going through. It still seems like I can't get that breakthrough. I can't get that final breakthrough. Well, you know, let me explain something to you, because I'm not going to talk about any of you all tonight. I'm going to talk about Gregory. You know, I'm going to take off the apostle, and I'm just going to be Gregory tonight. Is that okay with you all? Is it all right for me just to be what my parents named me? See, God knows me as Gregory, and that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. See, Gregory, when you look up the word, means watchman, one who watches over the flock, one who watches and stands tall on the wall to protect and provide for. That's what the name Gregory is, and I'm every bit of my name. And say to God, let me explain something to you tonight. Glory to God. Can I say this, Lord? Yes, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I slept with the enemy. Doc, what are you saying? I slept with the enemy. You know, and it's a funny thing, because it's going to be the enemy that you didn't realize who it was. See, when I was a young teenager, young in ministry, see, I started ministering at 14 years old at Ben Hill United Methodist Church. And I've done a lot of things in ministry throughout the lands. And God's given me the ability to go forward and do the work that he's called me to do. But it didn't come without struggle. It did not come without stress. It did not come with all things just given unto me. No, I slept with the enemy. You know, it's a funny thing. I was thinking about this earlier today, and I had to laugh and giggle to myself, and my coworkers saw me laughing, and they had no clue what I was laughing about, and they asked me, what's funny? I said, just a thought that I had in my mind. See, I remember as a young man how women would always want me to be their escort, women who always wanted me to be their date, women that always want, my mother's on the line, she'll tell you this is true. The women always wanted me to be in their presence. And it was so funny, because as I got older And my dad and I and my mother, my brother, my sister, we would sit around the TV in January. We'd watch the King's Celebration. And as we're watching the celebration, now my mother, she's on the phone. She's on the line, so she can tell this. She can verify this. We would watch Bernice King during the Martin Luther King ceremony. She would get up, and she would walk out of the sanctuary. And the next thing we knew, the phone would ring, and she would say, Gregory, I'm sending a car to pick you up. You're going to dinner with us. Gregory, we want you to come to the ball. We want you to come. Oh, my God, I'm telling you. In so many different times, but every time there was a service, you always saw her get up and walk out. And she would always pick up the phone and call me. Get ready, get dressed, come. The car's on its way to pick you up. Now, you know, it was a funny thing because I thought that that was prestigious. I thought that was glamorous. I thought that was God. But I slept with the enemy. See, my brothers and sisters, I went, oh, my God. Let me say this. Let me say this. It didn't impress me when I went in Martin Luther King Jr.'s home. It didn't impress me when I saw the table that he used to do his speeches on. It didn't impress me when I saw his robes that he wore. It didn't impress me the actual one of his speeches that were still there, laminated to the desk. Those things didn't impress me. It didn't impress me that I went to a dinner and Harry Belafonte was on one side, Dick Gregory was on the other side. Three seats down from me was Coretta Scott King. Directly across from me was Malcolm X's wife, Betty Shabazz. It didn't impress me that B.B. and C.C. Winans were even performing. It didn't even move me. When B.B. Winans came up to me, when C.C. Winans came up to me and said, here's my room number, come and see me when this is over. It didn't really impress me that I went in there with Bernice King, but Betty Shabazz's daughter looked at me and passed me her phone number. See, I slept with the enemy. I slept with the enemy. Now, when I slept with the enemy, I didn't sleep with any of those individuals. No, but I slept with the thought of sleeping with those individuals. And that's just as bad as doing the actual act. See, it's one thing to be able to meet and greet, but it's another thing when everybody has their hand out for you. When you're in high school and your teachers are, I'll give you an A if you come and sleep with me. I had one teacher that tell me, Miss Kemp, I'll never forget this. Miss Kemp told me, she said, if this was slavery time, you would be a buck. And I looked at her, I didn't understand what she meant by that. But she said, you would be a buck because you would be the one they would pay to sleep with all the slave women. Would you sleep with me for an A? I transferred right out of her class. It was ironic and interesting that I slept with the enemy. I slept with the enemy in my mind. I slept with the enemy in my heart. But there was never a physical altercation. So when we look at how to stay in the will of God for your life when struggling, you got to understand sometimes you may have slept with the enemy. It didn't mean you actually physically did it, but you did it in the mindset. If we are honest with ourselves, following the instructions of God and staying in the will of God for our lives can be very difficult. There will be times there'll be times where you will be challenged for who you are. See, they didn't look at me as a man of God. They didn't look at me as a minister of the gospel, but they looked at me as a boy toy. They looked at me as one they could have their way with. You know, and it was really interesting because, see, at that time I was only in my early 20s. And when CeCe Wine is with her little cute self, and when Betty Shabazz's daughter, even pretty as she was, tried to hit on me. And I looked over and I saw Andy Young, and he looked at me. He said, what you gonna do? He said, Andy actually looked at me and he said, son, you got some decisions to make. He said, because they're coming at you. And I'll never forget him saying that. He didn't say, do the right thing. Andy was basically saying, which one are you going with? Because whichever one you don't go with, I'm going with. Oh, my God. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. I slept with the enemy. I slept with the enemy in my mind. I slept with the enemy in my heart. Yes. Struggles are going to come, and sometimes the struggle is not a physical struggle. Sometimes the struggle is not a mental struggle, but sometimes the struggle is just you being you and people looking at you differently. If this is you, then don't worry. You're not alone. Even Jesus had the most difficult time staying in the will of God for his life. Wait a minute, Doc. No, I don't remember that. Oh, I'm going to show you. Even Jesus had a difficult time. The thought of having to endure all pain, suffering, and being separated from God left Jesus sorrowful and deeply distressed. Well, Doc, where are we going to find that? Let's go over to the book of Matthew. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. We're going to look in the 26th chapter. I promise you, I'm not going to be long tonight. We're going to start in the book of Matthew, the 26th chapter. We're going to look at the 36th verse. And it reads thus. It says, and I'm reading out the NIV, the New International Version. It says, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. Now, verse 37 says this. Now, watch this. He took Peter and two of the sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Verse 38 reads, then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Now, let me stop right there for a second. Now, Jesus said and told three of his disciples that my soul is overwhelmed and sorrow to the point of death. How many of you, my brothers and sisters, have been to that place where you're overwhelmed with grief, you're overwhelmed with pity, you're overwhelmed with situation, you're bogged down in the situation of life? Jesus had the same situation. But let's look at 39. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed. And he said, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet, not my will, but let your will be done. See, Jesus prayed. He laid on his face. But not only did he do that, he took three of his top generals with him and told them that at this certain place, I want you to just wait right here. And I want you to just be in my presence while I pray. See, there's a lot of times that we need folk in our lives. There's times when we need spiritual guidance. There's times when we need spiritual instruction. We need maturity around us. But so often we put it aside and we don't ask for the help. We just keep on going. But see, Jesus, the Son of God, asked help from three of his disciples. Now, the help that he asked for wasn't the help that you and I would normally ask for. He asked them to come and be with him. While the others were far off, he took the three closer with him and then made them wait. And then he went and he put his face to the ground and he prayed to God, his Father. See, saints of God, one of the things that God is calling us to do is to get to a place when we're in our struggle time is to pray even the more. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. See, that means the love-felt prayer. That means the prayer that you didn't pray last year, the prayer that you didn't pray even yesterday, but the prayer that you're about to pray right now from your heart, from your soul, from your spirit, that's going to penetrate to the utmost high God. See, we got to get to that place where Jesus was. But watch this. This is really interesting. In verse number 40, it says, then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. And he said this, couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked this to Peter. Couldn't you just stay awake? You see I'm troubled. You see I'm yearning. And you see that I'm not right now. But you couldn't stay awake, Peter. Sons of Zebedee, you couldn't keep your eyes open. When I needed you the most, you fell to the wayside. The thought of having to endure all that pain, all that suffering, and bearing separation from God left Jesus sorrowful and deeply distressed. Here's how Jesus put it himself. My soul is extremely sorrowful. Can you imagine Jesus talking to you? Can you imagine the thought process? He knows I'm going to get beat with the cat of nine tails. I'm going to be hung on this cross. They're going to pierce my side. They're going to put a crown of thorns into my skull. Would you just pray for me? Matter of fact, you don't even have to pray for me. Will you come and stand watch as I pray? See, saints of God, we've got to get on the mantle. And when we know when our brothers and sisters are going through something, we shouldn't wait for them to ask us to pray. We should start praying automatically. We know when we know when folk are going through something. But we don't take the time to pray. We're waiting for that person. See, glory to God. Preachers say it all the time. Well, I'm just waiting for them to come to me. Well, no. I'm going to just sit down and pray. I'm going to believe God for you without you ever having to ask. I want to believe God for you during your struggle time without you having to say a mumbling word. See, can I show you how I slept with the devil? Or I shouldn't say the devil, how I slept with the enemy. I slept with the enemy, like I said, through my mind. Not thinking about it, not desiring it, but it was given to me so freely throughout my life. You know, when I go into ministries today, there's never a time when I come out that somebody has slipped me a number. There's never a time when my mother would tell you this. I was a part of this one church, and. I had preached one Sunday morning, and when I came back from preaching, a young lady was in my office, or came to my office. I was trying to type something up and put something together for the youth, and the senior pastor was over in his office, which was directly across from me, and this woman came in and put a paper bag on my desk and said, don't open this until I leave out. Don't open this time. This woman was gorgeous. She was gorgeous. Married, yes, but gorgeous. And you know, it's the thought of somebody putting something down in your front and you want to see what it is. So I opened, as she was walking out, I opened the bag up and lo and behold, it was a pair of panties. And I looked at this. I didn't pick them up. I just looked at them and I called her name. I said, hey, come here. Come here. And I guess the way I said it, the pastor, and I'm going to tell it all. Pastor Hunter stood at the door. And Pastor Hunter listened to my conversation. And I asked, I said, ma'am, what is this? And Gloria looked at me and she said, when you were teaching today, it excited me. And I thought you might like this. I said, if you don't take your nasty draws with you, because I don't need them, I don't want them, and don't ever do this again. Now, I could have said it in a different way. I really could have. But she left out. She got the drift of what I was saying. Now, Pastor Hunter was standing right across the hall looking and listening to the whole conversation. You know he ridiculed me and said she's one of the biggest tithers in the church. I don't care if she gives you 100 pairs of her underwear. You take them. I looked at him and I knew my time at that place was almost over. Here's a married woman, just like my teachers, offering herself yet again. I slept with the enemy. See, a lot of times when we look at ourselves, when we look at our past could be great, our past could be wonderful, our past could be horrible. But the one thing about it is the struggle is always there. There's always going to be some form of a struggle. You may not have had the same struggle that I've had. Yours may have been greater or even less. But somewhere you have struggled. Somewhere you have stumbled. But just like Jesus, all we have to do is put our face to the ground and pray. To pray that I don't have to sleep with this enemy ever again. To pray that I don't have to put myself or I don't have to be in a position to receive from the enemy ever again. See, my brothers and sisters, you've got to understand that in ministry, things happen for a reason. Sometimes it's happening because God wants to see what you're going to do. See, some of you are going through struggles and trials and tribulations, not to break you, but to build you. Some of you are going through different types of obstacles. Some of you are going through different types of hurdles because God knows that you have a strong will and that you can overcome all these things. And all you got to do is pray. Seek his face. See, some of your struggles is that you don't want to pray for yourself. Some of you don't want to even pray for your neighbor. Some of you don't want to pray for your enemy. Some of you don't want to pray for your coworkers. That's a struggle. That's a struggle. But when we talk about the will of God over and in our lives, we start to understand that the main focal point shall always be my praise and my prayer to God. And when my prayer life is sufficient, then the struggles will start to diminish because I'm turning everything over to God. I don't care what it is. I don't care who it is. I don't care how it is, but I'm turning it over to Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom. See, your struggles and my struggles may be two different struggles. See, some guys would say, man, that's a great struggle to have. I looked at it from day one as a curse. I looked at it as a curse from the very beginning. From the first time that I saw something happen as a child, I knew it was a curse. I could hear God in my ears. And he would tell me, watch out for this person, watch out for that person, watch out for this person, every time. Sometimes I listened, and sometimes I didn't. Sometimes I slept with the enemy, and that was my struggle. That was my struggle, that I allowed this person to come to me and bring me this information and to bring me this folly and foolishness, and I did not turn them away the right way. No, you don't have to cuss people out. No, you don't have to be belligerent. There's ways that you can communicate very easily, calmly, and effectively. See, I hear all the time women say how men are hitting on them all over and over and over, and one man is no different from any other man. I hear this all the time. Why do I always have to go through this? Why do these people always want to do this? You have to take a self-examination and look closer into who you are. And when you see the God on your life, you're going to start to realize, I'm a magnet for certain people. I attract people into my arena. Why? Because the will of God. See, it's one thing to date a pretty boy. But then it's another thing to conquer him. It's one thing to date a beautiful woman, but it's another thing to conquer her. And that's what's on the mindsets of some of these individuals. But I'm here to tell you, you don't have to allow that to happen. If you find it difficult to stay in the will of God for your life, you don't have to be in that all by yourself. Know that Jesus was in that same place. Know that people before you were in that same arena. But the thing about it is, you have something. You have a God who's more than enough that you can bow down to and worship and pray to. But see, one thing about it is you can't deny your struggle. Oh, come on, somebody. You cannot deny your struggle. See, we see that Jesus did not keep the fact that he was deeply distressed to himself, but he told his disciples. See, you got to learn to start to open your mouth to wise individuals and say, hey, listen, I got this issue. I got this problem. And you don't want to share this with everybody, and please don't go putting it on Facebook. You put too many things on Facebook as it is. But you need to find wise counsel. And you need to share with them and say, listen, I got this issue. What do I do? I got this situation that's going on, and I don't know how to handle it. See, my God. It could be so simple. But when you start to open up, it does not make you the weaker person. And this is where people have been tricked. They have been told, well, if I open up to somebody, I've got to worry that you're going to go about talking about me and it's going to make me look weak. No, no, my brother, no, my sister. The lesson is that you should not feel less because you took the time to ask for advice. You should not feel less because you confided in someone of wisdom. See, Satan loves to convict us that we are the only ones struggling. He wants you to believe that, but Lucy, you're the only one that's ever had this struggle. Gregory, you're the only person that's ever had this struggle. See, I thought in my mind that I was the only one that ever had to deal with something like this. Had no clue there was many others. I had no clue. I had no clue that the principal hated my guts. Because the woman that wanted to sleep with me, he wanted to sleep with her. I didn't know that. And I never could understand, why does this man hate me so much? It's not that I wanted that woman. I wasn't going to be with her. But he desired her. Now, here's another married man wanting a married woman. You all see where I'm going with this thing? See, there's a struggle in life for everybody. We all have our cross to bear. We all have our burdens. We all have our hidden agendas. All slept with the enemy. Some of us have done it physically. Some of us have done it mentally. Some of us have even done it spiritually. I'll never forget when my father died. Can I be transparent? Can I be honest with you all tonight? When my dad died, the church, Ben Hill United Methodist Church, Reverend Henderson was out of town, or he was going out of town, so he couldn't do the funeral. And they had Reverend Jackson, who was a female minister out of New York, come and do the service. And she came to the house to speak with me and my mother and to go over some things and whatnot. And then I walked her out to the car and she gave me her number. She said, give me a call tomorrow. Give me a call. Let's talk. So I'm thinking we're going to talk about the funeral. Well, this talk, we became friends. And one thing led to another. I'm a married man. One thing led to another. And then I realized, this woman wants me. I realized that this woman desires to be with me. Now, this is not tooting my horn because it's not something to be, this is nothing to be glamorized. And I pray that you don't take it that way. But I need you to understand this is what's going on in the body of Christ today. That this woman was willing to do anything and everything. So she would come over. I was staying at my mom's house at the time because I didn't want to leave her alone. And we had so many people coming in and out. You know, I wanted to make sure the house was secure and whatnot. So I stayed there. And so this woman kept coming over, and I told her, you know, I'm married. Woman told me, this pastor told me, she said, it's okay. It's all right. And she would come over to the house many times. And finally I had to tell her, you know, I'm not interested in you in a relationship like this. See, sometimes we just have to take it, and we've got to say it. I'm not interested. I'm married. I'm not looking for a relationship from you. I'm married. I don't desire to sleep with the enemy. I'm married. Well, when I said it, you would have thought that I cussed this woman out. Now, here's a woman of the gospel. When I explained to her that I'm not interested in her forward motions, she got very belligerent, very vindictive, very evil. Well, you led me on. No, I didn't lead you on, man. I'm going through something so traumatic right now, the loss of my father. And I'm sharing some things with you. I'm thinking you're taking it one way. I didn't realize you were taking it to the point that we're going to lay down and have sex. See, my struggle, not that I desired her, but she desired me. And I know what some of you all have gone through. I understand the struggles that a lot of you, my sisters and brothers, have gone through. Because I'm not the only one that's gone through this. But life moved on, and more struggles came. More struggles came. But see, let me give you a light bulb, or let me give you a golden nugget. Write this down. This is a golden nugget. Admitting you have a struggle is the first step towards opening the door of opportunity to get it fixed. Your struggle may be alcohol. Your struggle may be lying. Your struggle may be stealing. Your struggle may be whatever. But the first step is admitting that you have a struggle. And guess what? Everybody listening tonight, you've got some type of a struggle. But the first step towards opening the door of opportunity to getting them fixed is admitting it. Ask a mature person for help. Jesus not only admitted his struggle, but called his top disciples, Peter, James, and John, to help him battle the sorrow that he was experiencing. It's important to note here that he did not tell every disciple, oh, here it is, write this down. He did not tell every disciple, but only the ones that were mature enough to handle what he had to say. Everybody's not mature to deal with what's on your heart. Everybody's not mature to handle what you're going through. Everybody's not mature enough, my God, to keep it to themselves. He didn't tell every disciple, but he only told the three because they were mature enough to handle what he had to say. Just think about the kind of help you need. So who are the prayer warriors in your life? Who are the ministers in your life? Who are those that you hold in high regard in your life? Can you tell them very intimate details about your situations? Not all of them, only the very mature. Jesus had 12, but out of the 12, he could only really deal with three. Most pastors won't tell their situations to anybody because as soon as they say it, it's run and the story has changed 50 million times before it comes back to them. So they'll keep it to themselves. They'll keep it bottled up, and that's the worst thing you can do. Don't ever feel that you've got to keep something so bottled up inside of you. I don't have anybody I can talk to. Yes, you do. You just got to figure out who are the mature individuals in your circle. Who are the ones that I can communicate on any level and it won't go any further than us? It's not going to the next person or to the next. It's staying right there with us. See, this is why we've got to get a close circle of friends. We got to get a close network of individuals that we can trust to tell our situations to. But not only do we tell them, but we need to ask them to pray for us or pray with us during our struggle. We've got to find individuals mature enough to pray with us to get this thing under submission. We've got to get to the next level. Another nugget I need you to understand. Another nugget. Saying I need help is a sign of maturity. Write that down. Saying I need help is a sign of maturity. Shut the door to distractions. Close out all distractions in and around you. In dealing with his struggles, Jesus tells his disciples to stay while he went a little further. See, Jesus did not need their distraction, but he needed their presence. He didn't need them saying, Lord, you're praying too long. Lord, come on, let's go back down to the other nine. He didn't need that part. So he left them at one point. And he went further up, and he did what? He got down on his face. When was the last time you literally got down on your face? You know, can I share something with you? I'm hard on myself. I very rarely ask for help. One of my struggles in life is I keep things bottled up, and I don't ask. I don't tell. I don't seek. Only person I speak to and communicate with is God on most situations. Is that right or is that wrong? God hears me, but guess what? I need somebody I can talk to sometimes. Do you know it's a hard pill to swallow that doctors tell you you're not going to live past this night? That's a hard pill to swallow. Yes, we're word walking, tongue talking, self abasing, demon chasing, God obeying, spirit praising, praising God without delaying, real men and women of God. But it's a hard pill to swallow when a doctor tells you you're not going to live more than 12 hours. And 16 years later, it's a harder pill to swallow when you got clots all in your leg and they're coming every day stronger and stronger and you don't know which one. You don't know which one is going to take you out of here. It's a hard pill to swallow. But see, I put my face to the ground. And I speak to God. And I ask God for help and guidance. I may not have somebody to talk to all the time. But I'm here to tell you, you do. You have somebody that you can always talk to. Find mature individuals that you can share your most intimate details with and get those things off of your heart and off of your mind. And then after you speak about it, simply say, can we pray now? Can we pray now? Can we believe God for who he is? See, every woman I've ever dealt with in all my life, they were takers. I've always been the giver. Every individual that's ever come in my life has always been a struggle. That's been me sleeping with the enemy. And when I say every, I mean every one of them have been takers. I don't know what it means to be given something. I have no clue. I just received something today that a dear friend of mine sent me, and I didn't know how to receive it. I really didn't. It was hard for me to accept and receive their kind act, but I did. And saints of God, we've got to get to a place when people are wanting to be kind to you, receive. Receive. When people are trying to sow into your life, receive. When people are trying to sow into your ministry, receive. When people are trying to sow into your mind, receive. When people are trying to sow into your heart, receive. But now I'm not saying that you have to receive from everybody, because everybody doesn't mean you good. Everybody does not have your best interests at hand. See, this person, and this person's on the line tonight. See, this person did something that not even my family have done. My family doesn't call and check on me, not one of them, not a one. I don't have one person in my family that cares enough to say, Greg, how you feeling today? Not one. Not one. But this person knew that I was struggling. This person knew the pain that I'm in every day. This person sent me these socks, these compression socks. And that person will never know how much that means to me. Will never have an idea. Can we pray, though? Can we just pray? See, my struggle is I slept with the enemy. I don't know what your struggle is. See, in sleeping with the enemy, it made me get to a place where my heart was not covered, it wasn't hardened, but it kept me from being able to ever receive from anybody. I didn't know what it meant to receive. I have no clue. Didn't know until today. And a pair of socks made the difference in my life. A pair of knee-high socks, compression socks, that helps circulation, that helps stop blood clots, made a difference in my heart. People you never know what another person is feeling. See, everybody says, until you walk in my shoes, you won't understand. Well, let me tell you something. I don't have to walk in your shoes to know that I need to pray for you. I don't have to walk in your shoes to know that I need to love on you unrelentlessly. When I can look in your eyes and I can see sorrow and hurt and pain, gloom and doom, I don't have to wonder at that point. All I need to do is get down on my hands and knees, put my face to the ground, and pray and cry out, Abba, Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lift up this brother. Lift up this sister right now. Lord, you know what they're going through. You know the struggle that they have. See, saints, what we want is we want information. And it's so sad. We tell the wrong people, and then they go back and tell all your coworkers, all your business. And so we've learned to keep and keep it all to ourselves. But I'm here to tell you, find somebody mature. You need to talk sometimes? Call me. You need a friend to listen? Inbox me. And that's as far as it's going to go. I promise you, I won't take it to nobody else. Sometimes we need that extra push just to make it another day. Sometimes we need that compression stocking just to get us through. Saints of God, I'm here to tell you tonight, no matter what your struggle is, no matter what your dilemma is, find a mature. I can't say it enough. Find a mature individual. Confide in them. And you know what? I'm gonna share this with you. And this is okay to do. You can tell them, listen, this is between you and I. And I pray it's not going any further. I need help. I need help. And when they do that, my brothers and sisters, you got to be able to help them. You got to be able. You may not have the money to give them, and that's not always what they're looking for, but you have the time to pray with them and to love on them unconditionally. This is where we've got to get to. Let me give you another nugget. When you open the door of clear communications with God, then you shut the door to distraction. Oh, Jesus, there it is. When you open the door to clear communications with God, you have just shut the door to distraction. Be persistent in your prayers. The last thing that Jesus did was pray. He not only prayed once, but he prayed three times. If the Son of God needs to pray multiple times before experiencing a victory in his mind, then who are we to give up just because we don't see the results immediately? My God. Elijah had to pray seven times to see the rain. Prayer manifests God's will in your life. Prayer manifests God's will in your life. I love you all, and I pray that you open up to somebody, because I don't want your struggles to make you have a stroke. I don't want your struggles to take you to that grave earlier than you have to. We're all going to go that way one day. But you need somebody that you can talk to. My brothers, let me tell you something. It does not make you a weak individual to to tell somebody, I need help. It just doesn't. It does not make you the weaker vessel, ladies, to tell somebody, I need help. I need prayer. I need prayer. Why is that the hardest thing for us to do? I understand why. Because in the body of Christ in today's society, we take that communication not just to God, but we also take it to all our friends. Oh, Sister Kate called in and she needed prayer because her husband been cheating on her. Shut up, stupid. Shut up. You need to close your mouth. Pray. Everybody doesn't need to know your business. Only the mature will be able to handle it. And you'll be able to tell who's mature and who's not. Because the first thing that immature individual is going to say is, let us pray. Let us pray. Let us pray. I need you to take this next nugget, and I need you to hold on to it. A prayerful person is a person who has victory over Satan and experiences the peace of God in their life. Write this down. Write it down. A prayerful person is a person who has victory over Satan and experiences the peace of God in their life. Saints of God, I love you so much. And if you ever need me, I'm always here for you. If you need me at 12 midnight, if you need me at 2 in the morning, if you need me at 4 in the morning, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. All you got to do is let me know. All you have to do is open your mouth. And if you can, my God, thank you, Jesus. And if I'm not the one, I want you to be assured that if you seek God's face and ask him to show you a mature individual that you can trust with your situation, go to that person that God shows you. Go to the person that God shows you and trust God for everything in your life. Amen. I pray that this message has helped somebody. Yes, I was transparent about who I am and what I've dealt with. I called names. I named names because it's the truth. I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem telling it. If it helps somebody else get to the next level, then please, by all means, use me as an example. Because what you don't know is that I minister on 7 continents around the world. I've taught in numerous arenas, and I'm preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ when Satan and everybody else said I should have been dead. But it's God who's kept me alive. Maybe it was just for this night to reach you, my brother. It may have been just for this night to reach you, my sister. If you have an urgent prayer request or a praise report or a comment on tonight's teaching, I want you to press 1 on your telephone. This is the time to confide in God and to trust God for victory. Are you that person? Are you that one individual, that few people, that realizes that prayerful people is a prayerful person is a person who lives and has victory over Satan? Are you the one? Is that you? If it is, praise God. That means you're that mature person that people can trust. Make yourself available for them. Make yourself known so that people can trust you and know you, to be able to communicate with you so that you can pray for them. I love you all. If you're listening by way of computer tonight, I want you to call in. The number is 657-383-0157. Once again, the phone number is 657-383-0157. If you have an urgent prayer request, a praise report, or a comment on tonight's teaching, you can press 1 at this time, and we'll pull you right on up. If not, everybody's good. Going once, twice, three times, all is well. Well, praise God. Praise God. Remember one thing. Pray until something happens. Pray until something happens. You may have to go back and pray it all over again. You may have forgotten something. Pray without ceasing. It could be the difference of life and death for somebody else. You know what? And it could be the death of it could be the difference of a person taking their own life or living. I love you. God bless you all. Make sure that you tune in this Thursday night, and we're going to have a Holy Ghost good time. I forget who's preaching. I think it's Sister, God, I can't think of it. I can't think of it right now, but make sure that you tune in. You will be blessed by the word this Thursday night. I pray that this word ministered to somebody's heart. I pray that it touched somebody. You don't have to sleep with the enemy. You can know that you have a God that you can call on. Reject the enemy. Renounce him. And live your life for the Lord. God bless you. Let's get out of here with a praise party, never a pity party. Till we meet again Thursday night, may the joy of the Lord be your strength.
Lord, here we are with one purpose. I have one bowing down before your throne. All the honor and the glory. We realize we're nothing without you, Lord.
We have cast aside our differences.
We have cast aside our differences to worship you in spirit and
worship you,
Lord,
King.
We worship.
Oh, Lord.
Lord, we worship.
God, we worship.
We bow down before.
We bow down before.
Oh,
you.
Lord, we worship you.
Lord,
Lord,
we worship.
Lord, oh, Lord, we worship.
Lord God, we
bow
worship
down
you.
Down
we bow
you.
Down before
oh,
you, Jesus.
Lord, we worship.
Each and every one of you, thank you for tuning in. Make sure you tune in this Thursday night. We'll do it all over again with a Love Fest Thursday. Stay tuned to It's Time to Pray. God bless you. Go out and vote. If you don't vote, you don't have a voice. You can't say nothing about what's going on. So please make sure your voice counts. Love you so much. God bless you. Good night.